You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your friendly All Warrior Radio Network. Well, not always friendly, I'll admit that, but always committed to the truth. Always committed to the truth. And speaking of the truth, somebody asked me, like, hey, the stuff you talk about when you open your show, where does that come from? It comes from laying in bed, something in my head. So here's what's in my head today. And it has to do with the military shocker. It has to do with the military housing thing, right? Why are there no guys involved in this one? Right? You hear the military family network involved in it. You see all kinds of stuff on social media, and it all comes from spouses. Why are there no, or very few, active duty service members involved in this? So riddle me that, Batman. Why are there no, right? They're the other parent. They're the other half of the family. They live in the house. Why aren't they involved in it? Answer. Zero. So whatever percentage, you know, however you define zero, it's zero. Well, I know, like, one guy, he's involved. There was a guy in the Reuters article. There's a couple guys involved in Reuters articles and things like that. Okay, that's still zero there, sports fan. Okay, however you define zero statistically, it's zero. So what's the problem? Oh, Mac, are you playing stupid this morning? Maybe. So the problem is, I don't want to get in trouble at work. So let me get this straight. I'm going to put this in the context of, like I did the, this is how stupid we are about, because I love you, I won't take you there. I don't want to tell you what happened to me in the sacred world of combat. Okay. So I'm going to go over here and I'm going to alienate you. I'm going to make myself totally miserable, right? I'm going to send this probably down the road to a divorce. And I'm going to do that because I love you. Do you want roses with that? Or can I just give you that like that? Will you just accept my push away? So anyway, so let me break it down like this. So I have a wife and kids and their health is at risk. And I'm not going to stand up for him because my career is more important than my kid's health. Okay, so now that's like condemning them, right? I know, I'm victim shaming, right? Okay. So I want to play a little audio for you, okay? I want to play a little audio because here's what I think. I think it's time that the spouses, be they male or female, right, get together with commanders and say, this is a problem, right? This is a problem. And I watched the hearings on TV, okay? And this is some of the stuff that I saw, okay? So I want to play a little, I don't know how many minutes it is. It's about 8 minutes of audio from the hearing. It's Senator Tom Cotton. Senator Tom Cotton used to be an officer in the United States Army. And so when he got his, you know, when he got his term, he's from Arkansas. He enlisted in the United States Army in 2005, rose to the rank of first lieutenant, served in Afghanistan and Iraq. He's the recipient of the Bronze Star. Where did he go to school? Education, Harvard University, Claremont Graduate University. There you go. Unit 506 Infantry Regiment, 101st Airborne. Hua, all right, Band of Brothers stuff, and the 3rd Infantry Regiment. Fought in Iraq, fought in Afghanistan, Bronze Star, Combat Infantryman badge, and the Ranger tab. So there you have it. So anyway, so this is Senator Tom Cotton. So he's no stranger to the culture, right? All right, so this was the most recent Senate Armed Services Committee hearing. And here are the things that he asked of the service chiefs, right? So you had the service secretary sitting there, you had the service chief sitting there.
Thank you, Senator King. Senator Cotton.
Good morning to all of our service secretaries and service chiefs. We rarely see all of you together. I think that reflects the seriousness with which this committee takes this problem. I think we've all had the same reactions to the very troubling reports of unsafe and unclean conditions at contractor-managed housing at military bases around the country. Stories were really terrible. Kids struggling to breathe because of black mold, lead paint, rodent infestations, exposed wiring, doctor's office visits where doctors plead with the families to move out for the sake of their child's health. My office has reached out to Colonel Donahue, the 19th Air Wing Commander and Installation Commander at Little Rock Air Force Base, to explore the issue there. It's not perfect by any means, but it doesn't seem to have the same systemic problems we've seen elsewhere. They've got about 1,000 total units under private management. About two-thirds of those are occupied, and about two-thirds of those report no problems or did not request an inspection. That still leaves over 200 visual inspections that identified problems that are currently being remediated, like moisture and lead paint and rodent infestation. Secretary Wilson, General Goldfein, I know that you will work to make sure that those conditions are remediated promptly. I also want to commend the Military Family Advisory Network for the work they've done bringing this situation to everyone's attention. We ought to address it with the utmost speed. We already ask a lot from our troops and our military families to sacrifice in terms of their freedom and their comfort for ours. I think the least we can do is to make sure that they have a safe, clean home whenever they get off duty or when they're downrange and their husbands and wives and kids are back by themselves. I think we've explored a lot of the fundamental issues already, so I want to give our service secretaries and service chiefs an opportunity to speak directly to some of their troops and families around the world. I know that you don't often get a chance to do this, but this is a pretty high-profile hearing. It will probably be highlighted on the Armed Forces Network and on military family social media sites and in your services' respective media outlets. Everyone on this panel has been a lieutenant or an ensign before, so I know you've all worked with junior soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marine to address their housing concerns. Obviously, when you sit in the Pentagon at the top of your service, you can't have visibility into every single one of those. But I know we do expect our young platoon leaders and platoon sergeants and section chiefs to be on top of their troops' living accommodations. So starting with General Milley and going down the row, let's just speak directly to each one of those platoon leaders, platoon sergeants, squad leaders, and team leaders. You do want them to be on top of the living situation of every one of their soldiers, whether they live in on-base, off-post housing, or they have a family. Is that correct, General Milley?
That's correct, Senator. And I would say that, as it's been true for 10,000 years of military history, a commander, it's a very special duty position. It's a privilege. It's not a right. And our duty as commanders is to be responsible for everything our units fail to do or succeed at. That's a long, tried-and-true tradition. That includes housing, readiness, training, fighting, taking the hill, doing whatever. And that includes housing. So I want all of the soldiers out there to know that their chain of command is now fully engaged, and it is our personal responsibility, and we will be held personally accountable for the condition of their living quarters or their houses.
Thank you. Admiral Richardson.
Senator, the same. It's a privilege to lead our sailors in the United States Navy. And that, I agree with you that the center of gravity is at small unit leadership. And it is not only a privilege to become a small unit leader, a senior enlisted leader or a junior officer, but it's also one of the most rewarding things that you can do to develop those people under your charge. That development starts with ensuring that the fundamentals, the basics, are taken care of. And I would include not only housing, but also pay, food, safety, all of those things that are just absolutely fundamental to human existence. Just say to all of our sailors and those small unit leaders, we're committed to making that relationship productive. Those leaders will be our sailors' advocates as we navigate through the recovery process here. We will move out with urgency. And we will, to Senator King's point, establish a structure that will be sustainable so that we don't find ourselves here again in 5 or 10 years. Thank you.
General Miller.
I would say this not just to the small unit leader, but the entire chain of command. The nation expects their Marines to be the most lethal ready force on the face of the earth. And we have a lot of things to do to achieve that requirement. But part of that is taking care of our families and our Marines and where they live, whether it be in the barracks, whether it be in base, government-owned PPV, or out in town. And so this is part of our responsibility. I mean, that goes with being a commander, being a leader. You're responsible for all your unit does or all it fails to do. And so I need everybody to understand why we're doing this. It's part of readiness. We need our families ready. We need a Marine can't be ready if he's not he or she's not living in a secure, safe place. And so I personally commit that we'll get after this. I agree with Secretary Spencer. I think and Chairman Imhoff mentioned this. You know, back in the day, you know, it was a different place, a different time. And I think we took our eye off the ball. And we've been a little busy the last 17 years, as you know, Senator, but that's no excuse. And so we've got to re-educate ourselves about what our responsibilities are as unit leaders, and that includes taking care of the families.
General Goldfein.
Thanks, Senator. You know, when I talk to young command team groups, senior officers, officers and NCOs, you know, I tell them that we a lot of things we do as senior leaders, we do the best we can. There's one thing we do that's nothing short of sacred duty and a moral obligation, and I believe it's our mirror check. And that's to ensure that every airman that we send into harm's way to do the nation's business is properly organized, trained, equipped, and well-led. And then when they get the job done and return to their families, we've taken care of them while they've been gone. That's a moral obligation. And so my message to all airmen is that we are not going to stop until we ensure that we have the system right to take care of them.
Thank you, General Goldfein. If I could plead for 30 seconds, Mr. Chairman, I think it's very important that our troops hear this. As Senator King said, there have been reports of retaliation and reports of non-responsiveness to complaints. I'd just like our service chiefs to speak directly once again to their troops and assure us, yes or no, that there is zero tolerance for any retaliation if you complain about the conditions of your residence. General Milley.
Absolute zero tolerance.
Admiral Richardson.
Same, zero tolerance.
General Neller.
Zero tolerance.
General Goldfein.
4.
There you have it. Family members and troops on the front lines, when you have these problems, the top boss in every one of your services has said there will be zero tolerance, there will be immediate responses to your problems, you should bring them forward and make sure that you and your families have a safe residence while we work through the bigger structural problems we have.
Thank you, Senator Cotton. Senator Heinrich.
Thank you.
So there you have it, right? So do leaders have the responsibility to see that their soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines have quality and safe housing? Absolutely. It's a sacred responsibility. That's what they say, right? That's what everybody said. Now, let me offer you this, okay? Have you seen any, a report of any active duty member joining their spouse since that hearing? Have you seen a group of spouses, active duty spouses, get together, go to their command and say, we have a problem? Let me give you the answers to that. No and no. So no matter what they say in public, right, the truth is this, right? You've heard, the truth is this, that military members continue to fear that there will be retribution, right? That there will be retribution. They fear there will be retribution if their spouse speaks out. I would tell you that's why more spouses don't speak out. And so I just want to start the show with that piece of audio and this comment, right? That if you believe what they said, then what you should have is you said what you have is units that are going to be advocates for these families, right? That's what you heard. So you should see groups of active duty soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines getting together and say, yeah, this sucks, man. Our housing sucks. We are the whatever percent. We are the 30%. In fact, if you listen to the first part of that, that Senator Cotton says, he says, he talked about occupancy on that Air Force base, and he said about 2/3 are satisfied. That means 1/3 of the people living there aren't satisfied. That's what that means. And then he kind of diminished it by saying they don't seem to have the other systemic problem. Well, when 1/3 of the people aren't satisfied, is that a good number to you? So anyway, but my point is this. No matter what they say for public consumption, what do you see? You haven't seen some staff sergeant in the Marine Corps standing next to his wife in his uniform saying, yeah, this has to end. You know, and here's what sucks about that, right? You'll go and you'll fight for your country. You go fight in a foreign country, but you come back home and you're so intimidated that you won't fight for your own family. And again, that's a situation that that people get put in. You know, that's a situation that they get put in. You know, I have this to say about that. You know, if you can't tell the truth, right? I mean, and your family's health is at risk, then it ain't worth doing, right? It ain't worth doing. Because in the long road of life, as you look at your son or daughter as they grow up, and with whatever malady they'll grow up, and you had the opportunity to make a difference, you have a moral obligation to make a difference, and let the chips fall where they may. But at the end of the day, you'll be able to put your head on your pillow. And so, but again, I just, the optics of it are stunning, right? So all of this goes on in the subterfuge of, you know, wives groups and things like that. That is how all this thing percolates. That is where it lives. And you have, and those spouses, and so the husbands, I'm not going to that meeting. I can't be involved in that because I want to get promoted. You know, I want to continue to be successful in my career. So I can't be a part of that. Right? While you're living in the stuff that you've heard about. Okay. And then what they're caught between is a DOD that, you can believe what you want to believe, right? Either didn't know about this, or willfully ignorant about this. I would tell you that based on what I've seen, and all I need to do is start asking for, send me a JPEG of whoever you emailed your problem to. And you are going to see base commanders, unit commanders. You're going to see assistant secretaries of the services for installation and logistics. You're going to see their names all over these emails. And every one of them is going to say, I didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know. So you can believe what you want to believe. You can believe either they didn't know, as they professed in that hearing last week, or you can believe that, I don't want to call them liars because that's so unseemly. You can believe that they didn't pay any attention to this stuff when it hit their inbox. They deleted the emails, or they put them in junk mail, or they put them in some kind of folder. But there are people that are specifically designated to care about these issues, and they are those four assistant secretaries that sat, and one for the DOD that sat in front of a table last week. That's their specific, and there's no way in hell that they didn't know about it. And so that's what these people are caught between, a DOD that doesn't care. And then if you heard the second part of that CNN interview that had to do with the housing situation at the Naval Station Norfolk in Virginia, if you heard that, you heard a woman who worked for Lincoln Military Housing, and they were asking her about how they dealt with mold and stuff like that, right? Bleach the wall. Right? So you discolor it, paint over it, and call it good. And the next tenant won't know. Why? Because that's how you keep maintenance costs down. Why did she get fired? She said she got fired. Now, Lincoln, I'm sure, will contest this. She said she got fired because she spent too much money on maintenance. So you have a for-profit venture. Part of their profit comes from holding down the cost of maintenance and not breaking those budgets. And if you break that budget, then you're fired. So you have houses that are built by the low bidder. Yay. You have appliances and everything in that house. The way the low bidder makes the low bid work is they buy expensive appliances and great shit. Oh, no, they don't do that. They buy cheap shit that looks shiny. Oh, and then what happens? The cheap hot water heater blows up. The cheap plumbing doesn't work. And then you have moisture in the house. And then you have the maintenance guy come over. Is he a bonded local contractor? God, no. He's a huckleberry who's a handyman who signed on to work for him. And he goes around the neighborhood and he bleaches mold. He shop vacs it out of vents. And tells you everything's okay. He replaces the carpet, but not the pad. He paints over mold, so the next tenant doesn't know it's there. And so that's the situation that these spouses are in the middle of. And so to me, if you're a service member and you're listening today, you have a moral obligation to your family. Right? And you just heard what your commandant, what your service chief said to his sitting United States senator. And that is, nobody's going to, not only will nobody, you know, retaliate against you, but your chain of command is going to be your advocate. Take them up on that. Take them up on that. And I will turn that little clip into a video that I will attach to this. So if you're listening to this, if it isn't on there now, it will be on there shortly. Okay? That video of Senator Cotton. And you can play that for whoever's in your chain of command. You're supposed to be my advocate. It's your responsibility that I have good housing. That's what the Commandant of the Marine Corps, that's what the Secretary of the Army said, the Chief of Staff of the Army. That's what the Chief of Naval Operations said. That's what the Chief of Staff of the Air Force said. All right? It's your responsibility as a small unit leader. I've got a problem, and I want you to make it your problem. I want you to help me solve it. And they're supposed to look at them and say, got it, I'm on it, right? Like Jules and it wasn't Jules. Jules, who did Jules call? The dude Jules called. Not the wolf. He calls the wolf later. But he calls it. He calls the dude sitting by the pool. And what's the dude say? He says something like, chill, Jules. And then Samuel Jackson says, no, you're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to say this. And he said something like, I'm going to screw it up. But he's like, you're supposed to say, I'm on the motherfucker. Chill that shit out. I will be there with the cavalry. And then the dude says, it's the dude who gets raped in the pawn shop. That dude. Big dude, yeah. Right? And then he shoots. Yeah, that's like the nastiest part of the movie. But anyway, yeah, that's what they're supposed to say. I'm on this shit. I got this. Don't worry about it. And so, is that happening? Well, the optics tell me if it's happening, it's brand new. Because nobody's coming out of the closet to say, yeah, my kids are sick and I've had this problem for a year. So, anyway, I thought I'd share that with you. Just that thought, that audio this morning before we get going too far. Tim Lynch, Jeff Kinney going to join us here on Thursday. So we'll talk about whatever we talk about. The United States Marine Corps Band makes Thursday official. Good morning to you. Dedicated to the spouse of every woman who's involved in this issue, the father of all the children, of every child that has been impacted by mold or lead paint, right? It's time for you to take Senator Cotton up on his word, that you can go to your chain of command, that they will be your advocate, that they will be all over these housing companies and fight for you the way he said and your service chief said they would, and that there will be no retribution against you for doing that, for simply sticking up for your family, for joining your wife in this fight against this bullshit. All right, so this is dedicated to you.
We will find our soul in God, the United. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Clowns of 53 in Quantico. Clowns of 66 at Camp Lejeune. Clowns of 52 in Granbury, Texas, where Mike lives. Sunny in 39 and 29 Palms, cold in California again. Sunny in 50 at Camp Pendleton. Okinawa dark, cloudy, and 67. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, in the city of Ramadi, it is cloudy in 64, so it's warming up there. In the city of Marja, it's warmed up. Dark, clear, and 62 in Marja. And in the city of Costa Mesa, California, it is 56 degrees. Under sunny skies, looking for a high of 71 today. How about that? 75 tomorrow and 78 on Saturday. Boom! Welcome to California. Yeah, we need to brown the state up, man. I don't know what happened, but it's all green. That's not the way we do it. Green. Hmm. All right, we'll take a break when we come back. We'll check some news headlines on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for the aforementioned program, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
To a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and soak in the ache of this heartbreak. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears.
Here comes the harmony, get ready. I like that. Peyton Davis. All right. Headlines out of the DOD today. U.S. prepared to strike back against cyber attacks amid report of naval system breaches. You know, so when I see these stories, so do you mean to tell me that we're not doing this stuff to them? The answer is, yeah, how do you think we know that they've stolen all of our shit? because we're spying on them, and we know it. Cyber attacks from Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran are increasingly sophisticated and, until recently, were done with little concern for consequences. The top Pentagon cyber leaders told a congressional committee on Wednesday, Army General Paul Nakasone, not sure if it's Nakasone or Nakasone, I'm going to call him Nakasone, head of U.S. Cyber Command, laid out the escalating threats following a Navy review released this week that described significant breaches of naval systems and concluded that the service is losing the cyber war. Speaking during a subcommittee hearing, Nakasone said the U.S. is now prepared to use cyber operations more aggressively to strike back. As the nation faces growing cyber attacks and threats of interference in the 2020 presidential election, he said the military learned a lot working with other government agencies to thwart Russian interference in the 2018 midterm election, and the focus is now turned to the next election cycle. The Navy report underscored long-known cyber threats from Russia and China that have plagued the U.S. government and its contractors for more than a decade. It said there were several significant breaches of classified Navy systems and that massive amounts of national security data have been stolen. The report laid out a number of recommendations to reduce cyber vulnerabilities across the Navy and make cybersecurity a higher priority. God almighty, what's it gonna take? All right, the election stuff, you know, whatever, right? It's stealing the hard secrets of how we do what we do in the DOD, how we build ships, the technology involved, all of that, stealing plans from the computers of contractors, things like that. How do you build this? Yeah, well, we can't get into that research facility, but you know what? That contractor has all that shit on his laptop because he's building it. So let's just hack them. Members of Congress peppered Nakasone and Kenneth Rapuno, the Assistant Defense Secretary for Homeland Defense, with questions about what the military is doing to respond to cyber breaches and deter countries like Russia and China. Rapuno acknowledged that for years the U.S. did not sufficiently respond to cyber attacks by other nations, particularly as the breaches did not rise to the level of conventional military response. He said deterrence is about imposing consequences, and historically, we have not done that. You know, it's an interesting topic that we get into every once in a while in this program. Life without consequences, right? Life with no consequences. What does that mean? Yeah, go check out kids who grow up without consequences. See what they turn out like. They're idiots. They do whatever they want. They exploit people. Unless they're just, you know, they grow up in the woods and they're raised by wolves and they somehow or other happen to turn out, you know, okay. But for the most part, that only happens in Disney movies. Right? And, I mean, I love Disney. Disney, legit, okay? Disney knows how to make movies with enough adult content in it, right, that I'll go see any Disney movie because they have cracked the code on how to entertain adults while entertaining children. So, they've cracked the code on movies, like all these people that cheated to get their kids in college cracked the code on that. Whoa! Yeah, they gained the system, and now the whole world is coming for them. White privilege, yeah. Let's put that shit front and center and take opportunities away from everybody else because we're rich, and you know what? We can do it, and we don't give a shit what you say or think. And the whole scheme, man. Get this in front of a coach, get them the money, and we'll say they're a prospective athlete, and this athletic department signs off on it, and the kid gets in college, and, you know, millions of dollars will change hands. How about that? It's pretty gross. Life without consequences, man. Whose idea was that? I mean, how many systems, I had a friend email me, text me one day, who's in a position to know shit like this? And he said the Chinese in 1 year stole the equivalent in terms of technology of more than we've spent on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. He said that's how much they've gutted our technology. But we're going to, you know, we don't want to go hard on China. So, good luck on that deal. Anyway, it goes on. He said the strategy is changing, but officials also have a deliberate approval process for offensive cyber operations, including some that require presidential approval. He also said that the Pentagon will soon issue a memo outlining how National Guard will be able to use department networks and systems in the states to help foil cyber attacks on the homeland. So it's an interesting little issue, and I don't know. It seems like the Navy is much more in the news than any other service in terms of getting their secrets compromised. You read about the Navy. Now, are they just more candid? U.S. warship sails the Arabian Sea, avoiding port, killing time and germs. Yeah, this story broke yesterday. You'll find this in Navy Times. For the past 3 months, the crew of the dock landing ship, Fort McHenry, has been stuck at sea avoiding port because of an outbreak of disease. But Navy officials bristled at the notion that the ship was on quarantine. They point out that only 25 of the more than 700 sailors and Marines have been diagnosed with viral peritonitis. Viral peritonitis, an infection that triggers symptoms similar to mumps with fever, dehydration, chills, reported in about 3.5% of the service members on board the Florida-based warship. Instead, they say that Fort McHenry's operational schedule has been modified while the ship's medical team monitors crew health. What does that mean? That means, yeah, they're going to stay at sea. According to a prepared statement by the Fifth Fleet that was circulated by the Navy's Chief of Information Office at the Pentagon. Man, you know what? The Navy, I mean, can they tell the truth? Right? They can't. The release doesn't in detail how Fort McHenry's schedule has been modified and sets no deadline for when the crew will be... They're like the Black Pearl, man. They're at sea forever. Right? Till everybody's cleared medically. Indicated that out of an abundance of caution, personnel have vaccinated all those on board with measles, mumps, and rubella booster vaccinations. Oh, but of course they're not being quarantined. Why don't you bring them to port and stick them in their own little hangar, right? The Fort McHenry is currently plying the Arabian Sea. Officials say that the first case of the illness was reported on December 22nd, 10 days after the McHenry left Mayport to join the Kearsage Amphibious Ready Group in the Atlantic Ocean. The Amphibious Ready Group is comprised of the Norfolk-based amphibious assault ship Kearsage, the landing platform Dock Arlington, the embarked elements of the 22nd MEU, and the McHenry. Sailors and Marines from the McHenry with symptoms of the virus were quarantined and treated in the ship's medical facilities while crews thoroughly cleaned and disinfected living areas and workspace, according to the Fifth Fleet. By Wednesday, 24 of the 25 patients had returned to duty. No lives were threatened by the outbreak. No new cases have been reported since Saturday, and all are expected to make a full recovery. All right, that's good. I'm not getting vaccine craziness rears its head on a surface warfare ship. An update on the search for a Marine first lieutenant missing in the Sierra Nevadas after he went hiking. And again, the Sierra Nevadas and the Rocky Mountains, I was talking to somebody last night who's up at Bridgeport, and he said, you know how sometimes we come up here and it's cold weather training, but we fake the snow part of it? I said, yeah. He said, well, we're not faking that shit anymore. He said, they're building snow caves. They're doing everything, man. It is, he said, it's huge up here. 10 feet of snow up here. Something like that. Avalanches reported in the area where a missing Marine lieutenant is believed to have been hiking. A massive interagency search and rescue effort is still underway for First Lieutenant Matthew Kraft, who was reported missing after he failed to return from a skiing and hiking trip in the Sierra Nevada's mountain range. Kraft was hiking the 195-mile Sierra High Route, and his trip was slated to end around March 4th or 5th. Cell phone records pulled by Bridgeport, California, Mono Sheriff Department showed that Kraft's last phone activity was in the vicinity of the Independence area. According to a command release, Kraft's rental vehicle, a gray Jeep, was also found in Gray Meadows campground above Independence, California. Multiple local, state, and military agencies have been involved in the massive search and rescue effort that has included aerial and ground operations. Monday evening, the 1st Marine Division said avalanche experts were being used to clear the east route and assess the avalanche risk in the area. So, keep him and his family in your thoughts and prayers. Hopefully he's holed up in some kind of snow cave after some kind of avalanche event or some other kind of mishap. I'll just tell you this. You know, you see people that head up there by themselves, and you just, you know, if you're a Catholic, you make the sign of the cross. And you say, I hope it works out. But when you go to do dangerous stuff by yourself, it's pretty, you roll the dice there that if anything happens, you'll be able to save yourself. And a lot of times, having grown up in Sacramento, which is at the foothills of the Sierra Nevadas, you know, these stories were in the news all the time. That's why I know how to pronounce mono, and it didn't say mono. Next headline, prepare to man Fort Trump. This is the base that's been talked about in Poland. U.S. has made Poland a very serious, robust offer to have a base there. Undersecretary for Defense Policy John Rood is meeting with his Polish counterpart this week in Warsaw to negotiate the deal, but an offer to Poland has already been made. The Poles themselves have offered to contribute at least $2 billion and perhaps more to the potential base, which would serve to balance Russian aggression in Eastern Europe. Quote, we have come forward with what we think is a very serious and robust offer, and we're just working out some of the technicalities this week, said Catherine Wheelbarger, the acting Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Affairs. She told the House Armed Service Committee Wednesday. Note, interestingly enough, the House Armed Service Committee has not held one hearing about the military housing issue. Not one. Chaired by a guy named Adam Smith. So, interesting. Interesting. Yeah, make a mental note of that. Adam Smith. Don't forget that name. One other story I want to talk about. This is kind of an interesting story about recruiting. And it's interesting because, you know, you see the stories that consistently say that the pool of recruitees, right, the pool of people that you can recruit from in the United States is dwindling. Here's tightening the medical requirements for recruits now could eventually save DOD billions by reducing the number of enlisted service members who end up retiring or separating early due to medical issues, a new study found. The RAND Corporation looked at 10 policy changes DOD has made to its medical recruiting standards since 2002. Of those, 7 policies tightened regulations and 3 loosened them. Some were minor, such as, in 2005, a change requiring recruits to show more flexibility and bend their knees to 110 degrees instead of the previous 90 degrees. Some policy changes were broader, such as no longer allowing recruits with a current case of psoriasis to enlist. RAND then looked at the entire pool of enlisted first-time recruits from each service from 2002 to 2012. they tracked how many of those service members medically separated or were medically retired over the next 8 years, looking for troops whose records indicated a medical condition affected by one of the 10 policy changes. It then evaluated whether those separations increased or fell for recruiting classes who enlisted after the change was implemented. Quote, we found a reasonable enough change that we could conclude that this was different. Catherine Edwards, an associate economist at RAND. For the DOD, it could mean a huge savings cost. When an enlisted service member is medically separated with a disability rating of less than 30%, they are eligible for a one-time severance payment and 180 days of continued benefit care benefits. The amount of severance pay depends on the years of service. Service member with a disability rating of 30% or more can be medically retired with greater benefits than those who are medically separated. They can also qualify for monthly cash payouts by the DOD for the rest of their life. And then they go on to do the math. So, but it's interesting. Higher physical requirements in a pool that is shrinking. Right? So all six members of this year's military recruiting class, stand over there. Yeah, you some bitches. We're going to do your swearing-in ceremony at the Super Bowl. All six of you. Let's see. Top five stories in early bird. Then we're going to take a break. I got a couple emails to get to, and then we'll get Jeff Kenney and Tim Lynch on. Pentagon officially stands up the Space Development Agency, names its first director. The Pentagon, let's see, who is it? Space Development Agency? I thought it was a service branch underneath the Air Force. The memo signed out by Acting Secretary Bobblehead Patrick Shanahan. Oh, did I say that? Sorry, I thought I was just thinking that. March 12th immediately stood up the Space Development Agency as a new office under the direction of the Undersecretary of Defense for Research and Engineering, Mike Griffin. The office will be directed by Fred Kennedy, the current Director of Tactical Technology Office. In his bio, Kennedy's a retired Air Force colonel, blah, 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 blah. All right. So, all you Star Trekkies, it's on. Number two, U.S. Senate passes resolution to end support for the Saudi Arabian war in Yemen by a vote of 54-46. So, by rights, that should fail, right? What Republicans voted for? Mitch McConnell urged colleagues to oppose the resolution. Senate Armed Service Committee Chairman Jim Inhofe, Republican of Oklahoma, defended U.S. involvement there. The Senate vote 52-48 to kill Imhoff's amendment to provide an exception for efforts, blah, 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 blah. I want to see. And then you have people commenting that say, this is tied to the Jamal Khashoggi event. This is the American Congress flexing its muscle and saying, the Saudis got to come back to the pack. And they've got to be taught a lesson. Number three, spec ops in trouble. Mired in scandal and under Pentagon review. What will it take to clean the house? Well, there was just an article last week that a study concluded that there was no issue. Now this, something has gone off track at U.S. Special Operations Command. A SEAL and a former Green Beret are under indictment for alleged war crimes committed downrange. Two Marine Raiders and two Navy SEALs are charged with murder of a Green Beret while the group served in Mali in 2017. Elsewhere, operators have been investigated for or convicted of spousal murder, sexual assault, child rape, domestic battery, drug smuggling, and have taken their own lives. and in the wake of the botched 2017 Niger mission that killed four Army Special Operations soldiers, a T-Star U.S. Air Force general, a Green Beret captain, and his non-commissioned officer in charge have faced punishment. A 6,300-page investigation found that the team had been untrained and unrehearsed for the mission and lacking proper oversight by its chain of command. Misconduct lurks in every corner of the military, but over the past couple of years, the range and depth of charges facing members of these elite units has alarmed the congressional leadership responsible for funding their operations. Quote, a survey of allegations of serious misconduct across our formations over the last year indicates that U.S. Special Operations Command faces a deeper challenge of a disordered view of the team and the individual in our soft culture. That's from SOCOM boss, Army General Tony Thomas. Sent that out in an email in December. But again, they've been doing this. They've been sending out emails and wringing hands and all of that. In February, Navy Special Warfare Command boss, Rear Admiral Colin Green, told a convention audience that he had commissioned his own 90-day review into leader development and ethics within the community. I think that was in response to a question that was asked by a reporter. And he's a task and purpose guy. Anyway, quote, overall, the report determined U.S. Special Operations Command and its components are full and active participants in the military services. And are meeting or exceeding standards in every area reviewed, Pentagon spokesman Commander Candace Tesh told Military Times on March 7th. So there you have it. There you have it. So, if that's the case, why do these things keep happening? In a memo, Air Force Secretary slams Space Development Agency as not ready for prime time. Air Force Secretary Heather Wilson's memo, dated February 28, offers a scathing rebuke of the Space Development Agency, a pet project for both Acting Secretary Patrick Shanahan and Undersecretary for Defense and Research Michael Griffin. Griffin, you just heard, was named to be in charge of it. The top Air Force official argues that the Office of OSD, which is Office of Secretary of Defense, has not adequately laid out how to transfer the authority of the SDA to the Space Force, which will be established under the Air Force. So, little territorial fight going on in there. Heather Wilson, under her own cloud, as she leaves to walk out of the Department of Defense and become, what, the Chancellor, the President of Texas El Paso. And number five, VA Chief Robert Wilkie is reportedly lobbying to be the next Secretary of Defense. Veteran Affairs Secretary Robert Wilkie is reportedly pushing an internal campaign to be the next Secretary of Defense, the Washington Post reported, according to interviews with at least one White House official and another person familiar with the matter who spoke with Washington Post. On a condition of anonymity, Wilkie has thrown his hat in the ring to replace Jim Mattis. Wilkie, for his part, has spent a lot of time in and around the U.S. military. The son of a war-wounded veteran, Wilkie previously remarked that he was born in khaki diapers. Oh, this is awesome. And I think my attitude towards that and leadership flow from having been in that world my entire life. He served as a Navy reservist from 1997 to 2008. Is currently a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force Reserve. What? Whatever. So there you go, Wilkie. All right, let me read a couple of emails here, and then we'll get Kenny in. This one entitled Hearing. Geez, the CNO sounded full of shit. Neller poked him in the eye in his first sentence. Yeah, this is for the whole chain of command. That's all boilerplate stuff, right? So again, contrast when you hear Tom Cotton say, I want you to tell me if you think that it's a responsibility of leadership to make sure that your soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen are their housing needs. That's part of readiness. Yes, sir. It is. Everything we do or fail to do is part of the chain of command. It's a leader responsibility, not just our small unit leaders, but every unit, right? All that bullshit, right? So, riddle me this, Batman. Why don't you see any active duty guys joining their wives in these fights? Because they get pushback. Because they're afraid. That's why. Otherwise, why would I not go fight for my family, for Christ's sake? Yeah, are you going to believe me or your lying eyes? Are you? Me or your lying eyes? My lying eyes. I always believe my lying eyes. I'm sorry, I believe my lying eyes. Yeah, that shit needs to change. China. Don't forget the multi-stage rocket technology that Hughes and Loral handed than when Bill Clinton in the 1990s. Come on, man. That was like decades ago. That ship has sailed. Look, and again, we've been hemorrhaging technology to China. So at what point don't we retaliate to make them pay? Like, okay, if you want to wage this subterranean war on us, guess what? We're going to turn around and we're going to do the same shit to you. Right? We're going to find creative ways to fuck your country up, right, using cyber shit. Okay? That's what we're going to do. And so if it's on, it's on. So, like, what are we doing as a country? I mean, what a bunch of rubes, man. Honestly. What a bunch of rubes. We've become a bunch of idiots in this country. Honestly, look. And we accept idiocy. And look at the border. Right? That's why, like, everybody, you can condemn the president all you want. If it was President McNamara, I would find the smallest scintilla of intellectual, you know, truth that allowed me to build a wall down there, and I'd build every bit of it. I'd rip a chapter out of Theodore Roosevelt's life. I'm not going to pussyfoot around here. Right? I'm going to use every bit of power that I have as a president of this great country, and I'm going to solve a problem because you have clearly showed me that you are not willing to do what's in the best interest of the American people. Okay? Clearly showed me that. And with this cyber shit, look, we cannot, like, we evidently did not think China was a threat. Oh, they'll never be a threat. Well, guess what they are now? They're a threat. And guess who made them a threat? We did. How did we do that? We didn't protect our shit. And then we didn't even have the balls to, like, retaliate against them. Right? Do you remember when the Israelis melted down the Iranian nuclear technology? Yeah, why don't we melt down some stuff in China? Why don't we melt down some stuff in Russia? Why don't we do some shit to them? Why don't we begin to foment unrest in different parts of those countries? Why don't we do that? You want to play this game? You want to burn it down on us after we told you not to? But, you know, again, we talked just a few minutes ago, life without consequences. And Grant Newsham, you know, said it all the time, you know, for once in the South China Sea, the United States, I mean, under the Obama administration, good God. I mean, we followed stupid with the Bush administration. Oh, my God. I just read an article about a book that's coming out that talks about, you know, how the narrative was lost during the for what was supposed to happen in Iraq, how Paul Wolfowitz took it over, and they would refashion, you know, Iraq into a modern, right, democratic Islamic state. That is like the most delusional shit I've ever heard in my life. So anyway, and so it goes. So, yeah, without consequences. And yet you think you're going to be a great nation. We stupid, all right? We stupid. All right, we're going to take a break. Kenny and Lynch join us next.